ओम जनकमिदंदस्य जनार्जनसुलभया चक्षुसुमिरतं येन तस्मै श्रीहरे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सर्वरूपकरमानन्दं दत्तस्य अपरिमितम् So Krishna and Balaram, the cowherd boys, have entered the Vrindavan forest. Krishna is seeing how the Vrindavan forest is so desirous of pleasing him. And he begins to express his appreciation to the forest by speaking to Lord Balaram. I'll read the, we're up to, I believe, text 9. But this is what Krishna said prior to that. He said, "O greatest of lords," speaking to Balaram, "just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by your mortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the darkness ignorance that has caused their birth as trees." So the darkness, the darkest of ignorance, or varying degrees of darkness of ignorance, causes all our births. Of course, a tree's birth is the covering is extremely dense, and there is no possibility of goodness entering the consciousness of a tree. In general, of course, this is true. The Vrindavan trees are so exalted that Lord Brahma is praying, the topmost person in this universe, is praying for any birth in Vrindavan, even birth as a tree. But as the darkest ignorance covering the soul of a tree can be removed by offering their fruits and flowers to the Supreme Lord, this principle is also true with the deep, dark ignorance covering our own consciousnesses, that it requires offering whatever fruits and flowers we can produce, offering those to Krishna. So Krishna is glorifying the glorious attempt of the Vrindavan trees. Then, after the trees, he glorifies the bees, who are following Balaram, because Balaram, of course, all the Krishna and Balaram wear vanamala. They wear garlands of forest flowers, which are very fragrant, and the bees are following them. And of course, Balaram's and Krishna's lotus feet are like lotuses. And Krishna his body exudes a fragrance. So the bees are following. So Krishna says these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours. So what is the quality? What are they doing? They're always following him. That is their worship, by following Balaram along the path and always chanting his glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. In other words, the glories of Krishna. Krishna and Balaram are capable of purifying Bhavo Shada Sutamana Brahma. They are the Oshud, Kya, Ki, medicine. They are the medicine to cure the Bhavarog, the disease of birth and death. To chant always the glories of Krishna, ceaselessly chant. Purifying. So you have this, although you have disguised yourself within this forest, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's acting as if he's a cowherd boy, a simple cowherd boy. Oh, sinless one. And oh, sinless one means, of course, Krishna, Balaram, and all the residents of Vrindavan, they are of course sinless, but also Anaga, also means they are capable of forgiving all sins as well. So they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord.
So thus, these bees must be great sages because they have the two qualities.
What two qualities? They don't abandon their Lord, and they're always chanting Lord Balaram's glories, the glories of the Lord. O worshipable one, I think we only read up to there. Oh, this is text 7. We're very fortunate because these verses are very special. This is Rityantyami Sikina Idyamudharinya Korvanti Gopya Ivete Priyamik Sanena Suttai Trikoki Lagana Grihamagataya Danya Vano Kathayan Hisatam Nasarga. O Idya. Idya means O worshipable one. So who is speaking? Krishna. Who is he speaking to? Balaram. And so he's calling Balaram Idya, O most worshipable one. And I believe it is Sanatana Goswami comments that when Balaram heard Krishna addressing him in this way, he turned his face away. For many reasons, but this is the dealings between Krishna and Balaram and Vrindavan. They are full of rus and sweetness, sweet exchanges. So, O worshipable one. So he's glorified the bees and the trees, and now he's going to glorify the offerings made by other of the residents of the Vrindavan forest. These peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. So how exaltedly, ecstatically, auspiciously wonderful is the Vrindavan forest filled with the humming bees, the flower and fruit-laden trees, the breezes carrying the scent of the lotus flowers. And the peacocks, they are also offering what they can offer. They are dancing before you, Krishna says, out of joy. And these doe are pleasing you with their affectionate glances, with their beautiful eyes, which reminds Krishna of the gopis. The gopis, they are glorified by saying they are the doe-eyed gopis. So when Krishna sees the eyes of the does, he remembers the gopis. So they are pleasing you with affectionate glances, just as the gopis do. And these cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers. Su-ukta is the word in the verse. Like Purusha Shukta. Su-ukta means auspicious sound vibrations. Shukta. Suttai Chaikokulagan. So the groups of cuckoo birds are honoring you with the Vedic prayers. And all these residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior towards you certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home. So Krishna, Danya Vanokasha, Danya means fortunate, Vana Okshaka means how fortunate are all these residents of the Vrindavan forest. Because Krishna has entered their home, and just as when one great soul enters the home of another person, the nature is to greet that other person, that other first person, with all the facilities one has available, whatever it is that one has available, whether it is something very opulent or very simple. But the best one has, one greets one's exalted guests with. So Krishna is saying their behavior is suitable, and they are most fortunate for doing this. By making the offering of whatever they have, they are the most fortunate. So there is something to be learned in that from us, for us. Whatever we have, What do these residents of the forest, Vinokasam, what do they offer? The peacocks, they offer their dancing and their peacock feathers. The cuckoos offer the prayers which are suktas, which are, resemble the Vedic hymns. The deers, what do they offer? Just the loving, affectionate glances from their eyes. That's what they have to offer. And that's what they do offer. So this is the nature of these great souls, so happy and joyful to welcome Krishna to the forest. There's no purport here, but there are some comments by the acharyas here. All worshipable ones, Sanatana Goswami says, means idya, and thus Balaram turns away his face. For the satisfaction of one who's arrived in one's home, one offers him various things of one's own that are excellent. The supreme excellence of the dancing and so on of the peacocks is indicated, and thus the benediction. May they always be engaged in chanting special songs which are confidential and dear to you. Danya, which is what Krishna says of, he glorifies the residents of the forest by saying, Danya, they are so fortunate, supremely fortunate. Why are they supremely fortunate? But why are they supremely fortunate? Look where they are, yeah. They're living in the Vrindavan forest and Krishna's coming there and they're getting the opportunity to offer whatever they can, whatever they have. So fortunate. Or, the benediction is said, may they become Danya, endowed with the treasure. May they become greatly fortunate. Become endowed with the treasure of supreme love of God. This benediction is offered to all the inhabitants of Vrindavan by Krishna. Jiva Goswami says, the deers, Kurvanti, Harinya, Kurvanti, Gopya, Eva, Te. So they have eyes like the gopis, which means, Jiva Goswami says, he remembers the gopis. Krishna remembers the gopis, his dearest beloved, after seeing the eyes of the deer. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in order to show honor to you who has arrived at their home, they are gratifying you with fine prayers. This is the connection with the ideas of the previous verse, such as the nature of devotees, which implies that the natural behavior of saintly personalities is to show honor to a sadhu who has arrived at one's home by dancing with joy and offering pleasing words. Now, 8, more fortunate. Danyeyam adyo dharani trinavrudastam padaspisho jumalattakarabja abhimristai nadyo adraya kagam rigasadaya valokya gopyo antarena bhujayor api yatsprihastri. How fortunate. So first is Danyayam, he's talking about fortunate. First fortune is Dharani. What is Dharani? Mother Earth is so fortunate because Trinavarudas Twat Padaspriso. And not only the Trina, the grass and the bushes and the bushes of Vrindavan are also so fortunate, like the earth is so fortunate. Why? Because Padaspriso. Because you taught Padaspriso that Krishna has touched them with his lotus feet. This is something that's desired by everyone, to be touched by the lotus feet of Krishna. And also fortunate, the Dhruma and the Lata, and the trees and creepers, because with Krishna's fingernails, when he plucks the flowers from these things, so fortunate to be touched by the fingers of Krishna, which are compared to buds of lotuses. And because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glance, they are so fortunate too. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. Here's the purport. The word Adya now indicates the time of Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna's appearance on the earth. So now, so fortunate a time. In his form of Varaha, Lord Krishna personally saved the earth. And indeed, the earth is understood to rest perpetually on the potency of Shesha. Both Varaha and Shesha are expansions of Balaram, who is himself an expansion of Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna's statement that this earth has now become most fortunate, Danyayam Adya Dharani. So the fortune of the earth is expressed by the gopis too. Daititikam Janmana Braja. The land of Braja is so fortunate because it is graced by the footprints of Krishna. This is what makes something fortunate. In this world, we have so many illusory and imaginary ideas of what is fortunate, but to somehow achieve the touch of Krishna's lotus feet is true fortune. So Danyam Adya Dharani indicates that nothing can equal the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal form of Krishna, appearing simultaneously with his plenary expansion in Balaram. The compound word karam Karaja Abhrimrista, touched by your fingernails, indicates that as Krishna and Balaram would move through the forest, they would pick fruits and flowers from the trees, because the trees and the bushes were making, this was their offering, they were producing these fruits for the pleasure of Krishna, and Krishna would reciprocate them by picking them with his lotus fingers. So they would pick fruits and flowers from the trees, bushes, and creepers and use this paraphernalia in their pleasure pastimes. Sometimes they would decorate themselves with the flowers. Sometimes they would take a flower and just put it, Krishna would take a yellow or blue karnikara flower and put it behind one ear and looking like Natavara, looking like the best of dramatic dancers. And sometimes they would take the amalaki fruits and throw them, play catch, play ball with them. Sometimes they would break leaves off the plants and use them with the flowers to decorate their bodies. Krishna and Balaram would glance lovingly and mercifully at all the rivers, hills, and creatures in Vrindavan. So the loving glance would melt everyone's heart, all the residents of Vrindavan, from the birds to everything, all the creatures, and to the residents of Vrindavan, hills, the rivers, being touched by the merciful glance of Krishna, they would feel very extremely fortunate and ecstatic. So Krishna blessed all the residents of Vrindavan in these different ways, with the touch of his lotus feet, with his glance, with his fingertips. But the blessing received by the gopis, being embraced directly between the Lord's arms, was the supreme benediction, desired even by the goddess of fortune herself. The goddess of fortune, who lives in Vaikuntha on the chest of Lord Narayan, once desired to be embraced on the chest of Lord Krishna, and thus she performed severe austerities to achieve this blessing. Sri Krishna informed her that her actual place was in Vaikuntha and that it was not possible for her to dwell upon his chest in Vrindavan. Therefore, she begged Krishna to allow her to remain on his chest in the form of a golden lion, and he granted her this benediction. That's called the Srivatsa. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur recounts this incident from the Puranas. Srila Swami comments on this verse, or Sanatana Goswami. What is the need of making particular descriptions, since all residing here are fortunate? Anyone who even visits the land of Vrindavan is fortunate. Yes? What do you think? What do you think? Krishna Leela is always in Vrindavan. Padam ekam na gacchati. Or else, now that he has become a coward boy in his boyhood pastimes in the pasture of Srinanda, the earth has become most fortunate, most excellent. All the grass and creepers are now fortunate, in contrast to the plants found in heaven and those present in Dandaka and other sacred forests. The reason for this is that they have touched your lotus feet. Why is the earth so greatly fortunate? Sanatana Goswami asks. Because of attaining the special achievement of becoming decorated by the extraordinarily beautiful feet of him which walked about the cow pastures and other untrampled places, the trees and bushes have become fortunate by your taking their flowers and fruits for the sake of ornamenting yourself, and they are being touched by your nails and your breaking of their leaves and so on. The rivers such as the Jamuna, the hills such as Sri Govardhan, the birds such as the peacocks, the animals such as the black deer, being situated far away, are fortunate by your merciful glance. Even though it is the case that the rivers and mountains are fortunate by the touch of your lotus feet, which is such as stated that they were merely glanced upon because, for the most part, they are situated very far away. And similarly, although the earth and other planets were indeed glanced upon with mercy, and though also the trees and so on were factually indeed touched by your feet, nevertheless, the statement is made in terms of these particular recipients of particular types of mercy by the most prominent in these particular instances. Being with the arms means by embrace, because the gopis are embraced between his arms and also receive his merciful glance. Their fortune is greater than any of the others. That the goddess of fortune performed austerities is stated by the wives of the snake Kaliya in Bhagavatam 10:16:36. That the Nagapadnis, Nagakanyagan, the Nagapatnis, they said that the goddess of fortune, how has this snake become so fortunate? Because Krishna, we will hear about this in the next chapter, if Krishna allows us. The snake has been so fortunate. How is it possible that he's a horrible snake that's done the most horrible thing of poisoning the river Yamuna, and yet you are blessing him by touching him with your lotus feet? And to attain that, the touch of your lotus feet, the goddess of fortune performed austerities, Sutiram, Dridavata, for a very long time with a great determined vow. But yet, the snake has done nothing. He's a horrible person. Sarpajati. Horrible person, horrible family, and that, look at the fortune that he's attained. Being touched by your lotus feet, something that is aspired for but not attained by the goddess of fortune. Text 9. Evam Sukadeva Goswami says, Evam Vrindavanam Srimat Krishna Prita Mana Pashun Reme Sancharehan Adre Sadid Roda Susanuga. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus expressing his satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants, Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the banks of the river Jamuna, below the hill which was known as Govardhan. So Sanatana Goswami says, that Krishna thus became pleased with the forest because everyone was making their offerings
and thus he gave that forest his mercy. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this verse has another meaning too. We'll read his explanation here. In this way, giving satisfaction to his elder brother, becoming inflamed with desire by his own words, he said the gopis being graced by the region of the chest between his arms. So Krishna began to think of the gopis. And he said, my dear elder brother, my dear respectable elder brother, I'm going to take rest here for some moments together with Subal on the ground within the caves of Govardhan. Just go ahead and play on the banks of the Kalindi. Thus speaking, the Lord took leave from them, and by his manifestation of his Kaishore phase, even during the age of his Poganda, he manifested later pastimes in a later age. He took pleasure in the company of the ladies of Braj. In this way, by means of offering praise to his elder brother, causing him to tend the cows throughout Vrindavan, the Lord took pleasure on the banks of the Manasaganga River beside the mountain. The mountain is Govardhan. This is the proper sequence of ideas. He for whom the all-opulent chief of the women of Braja, Radharani, is affectionate, possesses pure love for her. Therefore, being satisfied in his mind, together with his following companion, his companions, his friends, because this explanation is confidential, there is another explanation which covers over this more confidential explanation. Just like a golden vessel in which a gem is hidden, the second explanation is presented without an elaborate introduction, namely, that the divine Lord Balaram and the other cowherd boys had affection for him. So that's the golden jug, such a wonderful explanation, but Vishwanath is giving still a more secret explanation of how Krishna is using this opportunity to take leave of the cows and the cowherd boys and go enjoy pastimes with the devotees. But none of these pastimes with the cowherd boys or the cows have anything to do with the material world. Nothing. They are all on the highest of spiritual platforms. There is not the slightest tinge of the modes of material nature, of lust, or anything like that. It is just Krishna interacting with his devotees and his own energies for his pleasure. And everyone there is cooperating with that desire to please Krishna. So it is wonderful. There's nothing of the material world at all. So now there are four verses. We won't read them, but in each of the verses there is one word, and that word is kvachit, which means sometimes. So these are 10 through 12 in these verses, 10, 11, 12. And all the verses actually almost to 19 will describe the kind of activities, the pleasure-giving activities that Krishna and the cowherd boys perform in Vrindavan. And on the surface, just like on the surface, all one can hear is, oh, some boy walked in the forest and he saw trees and he spoke to his older brother and took some of the flowers and he saw some peacocks dancing. This happens everywhere. Not everywhere. It doesn't happen in Perth particularly, but it happens. It can happen. It can happen anywhere. What does this have to do with something spiritual? What does it have to do with the supreme absolute truth? What does it have to do with spiritual ecstasy? But that Krishna, the hero and Lord who has been described in the first nine cantos of the Bhagavatam, is doing these things. That he is the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer, the supreme powerful one. And yet look how he's acting, being motivated by nothing but his own desire. And he's acting with his deeply confidential, most intimate devotees. This is extraordinarily wonderful. like the king acting, how the king acts in his private compartment and quarters, and none of the citizens can go in there because the ordinary citizens, they have to look at the king with great awe and reverence. Otherwise, the king, if they lose their awe and reverence, they will lose their subordination to the king, and then they will become criminals. So similarly, all but the most intimate devotees must keep awe and reverence for the Supreme Lord. But yet we're getting a glimpse of Krishna and the most intimate dealings. And all that is going on here is Krishna trying to increase the ecstasy of his devotees who want to love and serve him in very specific ways in these four primary rasas of servitude and friendship and vatsalya, parenthood and the madhurya shringara kanjago rasa, lover and beloved. So this is what's going on. They want to serve Krishna purely with no trace of selfish lust, and Krishna wants to increase their ecstasy. They want to increase his happiness. There's not a tinge of selfishness in it, and nor is there anything ordinary or mundane. Everything is completely extraordinary and wonderful. So in this in verse 9, it described how Krishna Prita Manapashun Reme Sancharyan Adre Sadid Rodesh Sanuga, that being Krishna Prita Mana with great satisfaction in his mind, along with the coward boys and the animals in Vrindavan, Reme, Krishna took pleasure, Sancharyan made the animals graze. So how Krishna was taking his pleasure? What was Krishna? Because one, it's so interesting and amazing. One thinks, if one was all powerful, or how would someone who is all powerful as Ichha Shakti, who whatever he desires immediately comes to pass, how would he get pleasure, such a person? How would he get pleasure? Would he get pleasure by going to the casino and that every number he bet on would come up and he would win always continuously? Every horse that he bet on would win? How would he get his pleasure? So the answer is by having loving, sweet exchanges with his intimate devotees. That is how Krishna gets his pleasure. And he's really exchanging Radha Krishna Panaya Bhakti Ladini Shakti Asmada. It's just exchanges with his Ladini Shakti, his internal energy, pleasure giving energy. So in every verse of these next four verses, which is actually three verses, even though there's four of them, the word kvachit means, which means that sometimes that these are the things, these are some of the activities Krishna performs. Sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan became so mad with ecstasy that they closed their eyes and began to sing. Lord Krishna, moving along the forest path with his coward boyfriends in Baladev, would then respond to the bees by imitating their singing, while his friends sang about his pastimes. So Lord Brahma describes that in Vrindavan, every step is a dance step and every word is a song. So they're always singing. So Krishna would imitate, the bees would be intoxicated in ecstasy. They would close their eyes and buzz. And Krishna would imitate them with Balaram, closing his eyes perhaps and buzzing. Because they're acting like boys, and the other boys there would get so much pleasure out of these simple activities because they were with Krishna. And the coward boyfriends would sing about his pastimes. Sometimes Lord Krishna would imitate the chattering of a parrot
and sometimes with a sweet voice, the call of a cuckoo, and sometimes the cooing of the swans, and sometimes he vigorously imitated the dancing of a peacock, making his coward boyfriends laugh. Sometimes with a voice as deep as the rumbling of clouds, he would call out with great affection the name of the animals, the cows who had and bulls who had wandered far from the herd, and thus enchanting the cows and the cowherd boys. Krishna would call the names of the cows. They would wander away, and Krishna would call them to come back. Sometimes he would climb a tree and call them, or play his flute to call them. Purport. Srila Sanatan Goswami explains that Lord Krishna would joke with his friends, saying, "Just look, this peacock does not know how to dance properly." Whereupon the Lord himself would vigorously imitate the peacock's dancing, causing great laughter amongst his friends. Because that's when boys get together, they just simply play and play and play and laugh and push. And so this is a reflection what appears in this world. This is just what's going on in the spiritual world. But the center there is Krishna. And it causes the greatest ecstasy because everyone loves Krishna. The bees in Vrindavan would drink the sap of the forest flowers, and the combination of this nectar and the association of Sri Krishna made them mad with intoxication. Thus they closed their eyes in ecstasy and expressed their satisfaction by humming or buzzing. And this humming was also expertly imitated by the Lord. Some places, sometimes, this is what was going on. Sanatana Goswami says, either the singing was an imitation of the bees, or praised as even greater than the singing of the bees. The word charming or valga refers to the cuckoos who were making their sound. What sound do cuckoos make? Punctuated. They sing on the fifth note, which means something like that. So this was at the end of the autumn that this took place, because remember, this was when just in Gopastami, just in the Kartik season when this was taking place. So this is the end of the autumn. And peacocks usually don't make these sounds, their sounds in the autumn. But because the nature of Vrindavan, Sanatana Goswami says, is that it encompasses all seasons simultaneously. So every pleasing aspect of every season was able to make its offering to Krishna simultaneously, continuously. The Lord points out that the peacock points out the peacock and dances, standing in front of the peacock. Asayan means causing him to take instruction. Thus, conquering the peacock by his own dancing, he makes the peacock desist from dancing. Or else he makes his friends laugh at the peacock, saying, "This peacock does not know how to properly dance." Thus, on the pretext of describing the first day of tending the cows, the pastimes of an average day are described, pointing out a peacock. Krishna dances. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, pointing out a peacock, he dances and he makes his friends laugh and enthuses the peacocks in their transcendental mellows. Text 13. Sometimes he would cry out in imitation of birds such as the chakoras, kronchas, chakravas, and bharadwajas, and the peacocks. He would imitate their sounds. And sometimes he would run away with the smaller animals in mock fear of lions and tigers. So the word used in the verse is bita vad, as if afraid. So Krishna would act like a boy the tigers, the lions would roar, and Krishna would act as if he was afraid and run away. So the purport here says, the word bitava, as if afraid, indicates that Lord Krishna played just like an ordinary boy and ran with the smaller forest creatures in mock fear of the lions and tigers. Actually, in Vrindavan, the abode of the Lord, the lions and tigers are not violent, and thus there is no reason to fear them. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, actually, Krishna possesses innate intrinsic heroism, and there is no fear within him. So therefore, the word bitavak, as if afraid. So this is his playing in the pastime, playing like a cowherd boy. Fourteen. When his elder brother, fatigued from playing, would lie down with his head upon the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna would help him relax by personally massaging his feet and offering other services. Lord Krishna, the purport here says, Pada Sambhahanadibhi, indicates that Lord Krishna would massage Balaram's feet, he would fan him and bring him river water, Yamuna water, to drink. And they would perform other services for Balaram. Upabharaman in the verse. This is one of the things. Upabharanam, he would use, and other services. Krishna would use his leg perhaps as a pillow for Balaram to lie down. 15. Sometimes as the cowherd boys danced, sang, moved about, and playfully fought with each other, Krishna and Balaram, standing nearby, hand in hand, would glorify their friends' activities, and they would laugh. So this is just the playing of boys. So there are great souls who wish to, or aren't satisfied with any kind of playing in this world, but they want to play with Krishna because they love Krishna in that mood. And therefore, they can go to Goloka Vrindavan following the process of Krishna consciousness very purely, for strictly and strictly. Tam satam brahmasukhana bhutya sakyam vicharu maya shitaram narapangavena sakyam vicharu krita punja punja. After many, 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 many lives of punya, pious activities of Krishna consciousness, these cowherd boys have attained this position to be able to exchange love with Krishna in these very intimate, friendly ways. How wonderful. So, to text 15, Sanatana Goswami comments. Sometimes they praise the cowherd boys, offering congratulations, such as, this is very clever and heroic or charming, the way you're dancing or singing. Or else, laughing due to the rise of ecstasy from dancing and so on, they offer praise. Or else they laughed at the cowherd boys, saying, aha, these boys are ridiculing the Gandharvas with their singing. Your singing is so wonderful that you are minimizing the greatest singers in the universe. And you are making fools of the Vidyadharas with your dancing. Your dancing is so wonderful. And you are threatening to conquer the three worlds with your fighting. In this way, thus joking, they offered praise while truly expressing the special glories of the cowherd boyfriends. This is Vrindavan. Do we want to stay here in peaceful, boring Perth? Or do we want to go to Vrindavan? Vrindavan. Yes, we should all desire to go to Vrindavan, but the price is very high. It's everything. Continuously. Without flinching.
always just wanting to please Krishna with no selfishness at all. But it is natural, so in that sense it's simple. Sometimes Lord Krishna grew tired. So when Balaram grew tired, Krishna served him. Sometimes Lord Krishna grew tired from fighting, and he laid down at the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds, and using the lap of a coward friend as a pillow. Purport. The word Pallava Talpeshu implies that Lord Krishna expanded himself into many forms. He lay down upon many beds of twigs, leaves, and flowers hastily constructed by his enthusiastic cowherd friends. Here, Sanatana Goswami comments. Sukadeva Goswami, 16, yeah. He's coming to the point of summarizing in his narration the pastime of taking rest, and so on. He thus describes the great fortune of the coward boys in three verses, beginning with Krachit, that means 16, 17, and 18. Niyudham, in text 16, what does yudha mean? Fighting. So, niyudham shrama karshita. Niyuda, from the fighting, shram, fatigued, worn out and tired from fighting with his friends. It was just boys. What boy, when they were growing up, didn't wrestle with their friends and fight with their friends? Everyone. So Krishna also does that. It is natural for us because it is within Krishna. So Niyuda means the pastime wherein he engaged with them in wrestling. What kind of wrestling did Krishna engage in with the boys? Krishna Sanatana Goswami says, arm wrestling, like that. And by that, he experienced fatigue by exhibiting the symptoms of the rising of droplets of perspiration upon his cheeks, which were beautiful like pearls. Thus, by that fighting, he became as if weary. The coward boy, the brother of Sri Radha Devi, known as Sridham, is an intimate friend of the Lord, and it is on his lap that it is his lap that became his pillow. In this way, just as did the Lord, Sridham became many to lie down on the many beds. So Krishna expanded himself into many Krishnas. And Sridham expanded himself into many Sridhams so Krishna could lie on his lap. Or else it is understood that his pillow was the lap of the coward boys, meaning he would lie anywhere upon anyone's lap. So Krishna expanded, sometimes it can also mean that Krishna expanded himself into many, so he could lie down and put his head on the lap of many, many, many different coward boys, so that they could all have the ecstasy of serving and loving Krishna in that way. Thus the Lord rejected even a regularly made bed for the sake of taking the lap of a coward boy as his bed. So this is describing the fortune of the coward boys. 17. Some of the coward boys, who were all great souls, would then massage his lotus feet, and others, qualified being freed of all sin, would expertly fan the Lord. It was also a comment by Sanatana Goswami, because it said the coward boys made the beds out of twigs. So that they made it out of twigs is a general statement that other items or beds were constructed simply out of twigs to avoid delay, because Krishna wanted to take rest of them. So to avoid delay, they just made it out of very soft twigs and buds. Or many boys together, so all the boys gathered together to make one bed quickly. Or many boys together constructed many beds. Or many boys constructed many beds, and Krishna expanded himself and lay down on each bed. This opulence of his will be described in text 20, we're using the word Isha Chaistiha.
So although Krishna acts like an ordinary coward boy in one sense, in another sense, everything he does is extraordinary. And Isha Chastita, not in 20, but I think it's later on, right at the end. Oh yes, in 19. Isha Chastita means, although displaying feats unique to the Isha, the Supreme Lord. So although on one level he's playing and arm wrestling with his friends, anyone can do that, but how many people can expand into so many Krishnas? Because these are the activities of the Supreme Lord. They are extraordinary. Always extraordinary. Even though sometimes they appear to be quite common. Text 18. I'll read in 17. They were Srila Jiva Goswami said, where it describes these boys were hata papmana, they were freed from sin. It also means, Jiva Goswami says, they destroy sin in the form of obstructions to such service. So they are so powerful that if one has obstructions in his devotional service, to serving the Lord, by the mercy of these exalted coward boys, all those obstructions can be removed. And then the last verse that we read here. Oh, just let me read Srila Sridhar Swami's comment at 17, and then we'll read 18, which will be the last verse. With fans made of twigs and so on, and we'll read, those by whom the sins of the entire world are destroyed, eradicated because of the chanting of his glories. The implication is implied by Sukadev Goswami. The implication is simple. So they are completely free from sin because they are always chanting Krishna's glories. And this comes up again and again. What are the cowherd boys doing when they're coming back? They're always talking, singing about Krishna, and therefore they are freed from sins. Like the bees. They make every place holy. They make their they are fully holy. This is completely natural for them. But then he says, by that it is implied, because of lacking the good fortune of such engagement in devotional service, we ourselves simply remain the most sinful. Because we don't always engage in glorifying Krishna. And then the last verse we shall read. My dear King, other boys would sing and chanting songs appropriate to the occasion, and their hearts would melt out of love for the Lord. Sanatana Goswami, the word in sense is it says Maharaj, the word, so there'll be some meanings to that. Sanatana Goswami says, the boys would sing songs just suitable for the Supreme Lord at that time. That is, songs that would express the completion of the ideas that he was thinking. Or else songs that were charming and attractive to the mind, even of him who is more grave than millions of oceans and is most unshakable, because those songs having varied and wonderful melodies and rhythms, and because of their expressing such topics as the transcendental qualities of the gopis. The word Maharaj in text 18 Maharaja. Gayanti sma Maharaja. Maharaj implies great king. Even such a great ruler as yourself, he's speaking to Maharaj Prakrit, is unable to achieve such happiness in sporting pastimes as these coward boys had achieved by playing with Krishna. Or Maharaj means their affection was Maharaja, extremely radiant. And most intelligent, most excellent. Okay. So we've heard about Krishna's first day
in Vrindavan, walking into the Vrindavan forest and his activities of playing with the cowherd boys and the cows and interacting with all the residents of Vrindavan forest. And now the topic will switch. And these activities can appear to be simple. And Krishna indeed is playing in this simple way. But nothing is simple. Everything is most extraordinarily wonderful because it is done by Krishna, all within his internal energy. But yet sometimes Krishna performs extremely extraordinary activities. The Isha Chaistitaha, the activities of the Supreme Lord. So we shall, next time we have our meeting, we shall hear of one of those activities, and we shall at least begin that activity of the killing of Dhanukasura, and we'll stop there. Okay. Thank you very much. Questions, comments? Not the, yes, that's true too, but not ordinary punya, bhakti punya.
But even that bhakti punya is like, isn't that just like, you know, that's a supercreti, it's like a spiritual devotional accumulation of merit, but yet that's not the qualification for getting into it.
What is the qualification?
It's transcendental greed.
But where do you think that comes from? You think that's just born out of nowhere?
Well,
is that born from incredible bhakti sukriti?
Well, I would say initially sukriti would give you the association, but
that association means serve it. Then you serve, and that gives you more sukriti. Sukriti does it in this case. I mean, it's like all the service that one does, all the devotional service, the chanting, the hearing, the cleaning the temple, the distributing of books, the cooking, making offering for the deities, the giving of money, the prayers, the one. This is all bhakti sukriti. And as one, and the association and hearing from devotees and service to devotees. This is all bhakti sukriti. And the effect of that is that one's desire to love and serve Krishna increases, and one's desire to enjoy in the material world decreases. And one's humility increases. That is the effect of the increase of bhakti. So when we talk about bhakti sukriti, it is basically the bhakti lata growing out of the material world into the spiritual world till it ultimately takes shelter of Krishna. There's different kinds of sukriti. There's sukriti that which means pious activity. So there's the kind that gives you karma sukriti. There's jnana sukriti and bhakti sukriti. So the final ultimate result of the sukriti, bhakti sukriti, is prema bhakti. But your whole life is ecstatic loving service to Krishna. It's continuous highest sukriti. It's the perfection of sukriti. You don't have to, you've achieved the goal. Prema Pamartam Ahan. That's the goal.
She has the ten perfection.
But it's the perfection that's her natural perfection, which is serving Lord Narayan. Her natural position is to serve Lord Narayan. It is not to be in Goloka Vrindavan, so it's because it's artificial for her constitutional position, she can't give up her opulence, and therefore she can't enter Goloka Vrindavan.
But the desire of her before is there.
outside of her natural position, so she couldn't actually achieve it. So it is explained. And that's where what Jason said, where the tatraloyam api muyame kalam. So there comes a point where you want to be a devotee, you want to serve in a particular way, but then you have to give up something to attain that. And then we may say, yes, I want to serve Krishna, but I still want to be attached to that, and that disqualifies us. So we can say that Lakshmi Devi, even though it's a natural position, but she was attached to the opulence of being Lakshmi Devi. So she had greed, you can say, or otherwise she wouldn't have performed the austerities. But she didn't have sufficient greed to have the required giving up of everything and taking birth in Braja, in the womb of a gopi, and being a gopi. She didn't have that because it wasn't her natural position. You can also say it like that. Is that clear? Yes.
It seems like Krishna didn't have a golden mind.
He had?
He didn't have a golden mind.
He did.
Did not have.
He did. Did so. Did not. Did so.
I mean, according to the purport, yeah, I was just reading it before.
Is that where you got it?
Where you got it before.
But this happens in Krishna's Leela. That he gets his eternal things. This is part of Leela. He gets his eternal, the things that are eternally his, just like the jewel. What's the name of the jewel? Huh? The Samantaka jewel, and the jewel that was. That took from Sankachuda. He gave it to Balaram. Balaram gave it to Srimati Radharani. But this is already their eternal property. But this is the pastimes and how Krishna gets these things. But it's already his.
Like a magician who makes some display of pulling something out of a hat.
It's pastimes. This is wonderful. Therefore, Kunti Devi says that Krishna is. He's acting like a dramatic actor on stage. So everything is going on one level, just according to exactly the way it's supposed to go on. But on another level, it's ever fresh. It's not like a rerun movie. It's ever fresh and surprising even to Krishna. So consider that. How can Krishna, who by definition knows everything, not be bored by everything because he already knows what's going to happen? But he's living ever freshly, eternally in his relationship with his devotees, and it's always enjoyable for him. So it's obviously difficult for us to conceive of what the spiritual world was like and how these pastimes take place, but it's all for Krishna's pleasure. A simple way to understand that this is how Krishna, this is the way that it gives Krishna pleasure to get his jewel, to get his flute, to lose his cows, to gain his cows, to wrestle with his friends, to sometimes lose, to sometimes win. To have his flute stolen, for him to get his flute back. To grow older, to even leave Vrindavan, to come back to Vrindavan, to never be gone from Vrindavan. Everything is just simply for Krishna's pleasure. So our objective is to participate in giving Krishna pleasure. So we don't have, on the sadhaka level, seva sadhaka rupena, we should know how to give pleasure to Krishna here and now, not think, oh, when I get there, I can, then we will never get there, but we should always practice giving Krishna pleasure now. Thinking, what will give Krishna pleasure? What will give Krishna pleasure? How can I please Krishna? With great devotion on the sadhaka level. Seva sadhaka rupena, siddha rupena chaturhi. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Vrindavan dham ki jai, Kahoi boy lila ki jai. Go, go, what do you mean?